I know where to start.
You're listening to Fated Mates. I'm Sarah McLean.
I'm Jen Reed's Romance.
And this is Interstitial number 2.
I love it. It's so Star Trek-y. I'm like never going to get over it.
I don't know. Maybe we'll decide not to do Interstitial. At some point, maybe like we'll be reading an Immortals After Dark book, and there will be some like wacky accession.
No, Sarah. Interstitial no, forever.
It's Interstitials forever.
I'm like, I'm already printing tote bags for our many listeners.
All right. Well, then, this is Interstitial number 2. And if you were with us for Interstitial number 1, which is about rock star romances, you'll know why we chose our topic for this week, which is escorts.
Yes. Well, and I would also like to say we mentioned it, but I think the kiss quotient we both loved this summer. And so I think it's also when a perfect book kind of bubbles up to the top. It's then you're kind of, you know, reevaluating what other books did I like that were similar, that had a similar trope or theme. So I think for me, the kiss quotient put escort books back on my radar.
Oh, that's interesting. So I came back to escort books not long ago, but it predated the kiss quotient by a few months because I had really loved Claire Kent, who I'll just jump right in.
Do
I'm just going to jump right in.
We only have 10 minutes.
No.
Lol.
So I really love Claire Kent, and maybe someday we'll do like a space romance or like a prison romance episode, and we'll talk about Claire Kent a little more. But I discovered her, and then I couldn't stop reading her, and I came to Escorted, which...
I've read it too, and I also love it, so...
Yeah, I mean, she's incredibly talented. And I came to Escorted, and Escorted is a virgin heroine who is nearly 30, or like just 30, who decides that she is going to rid herself of her virginity. And she hires herself a male escort, who is really delightful. And has this like very deeply emotional past and lots of scars that he has to sort of come to terms with over the course of the book. And what's really amazing about this is she hires him because somebody has sort of recommended him. I imagine this is how hiring an escort goes. You sort of get a name from somebody, like a gynecologist.
I think I snorted. That's so embarrassing. But it's so true. Like, you whisper them, this is a good one.
I mean, you have to. I literally, first of all, none of my friends have ever suggested that I see an escort or given me a name. And I feel a little bit like, if this happens, why not me?
I think because you and I are both married, Sarah.
Probably because my husband would think that was weird. But that's not the point. The point is I want the chance to say no. Anyway,
fine.
Our heroine goes looking for an escort, and she is given this name, and he's apparently quite skilled, and she goes to him, and they meet in a park, sort of in broad daylight, and he has this kind of moment with her where he's like, you're asking me to do something that no one's ever asked me to do. No one's ever asked me to, like, rid them of their virginity, and I want to make sure I do it right for you. And instantly, you're sort of deeply drawn to this character who clearly has skill and, like, thinks of his work as, you know, a job and is competent. But not only that, is also just sort of very aware of the importance of this particular moment, particularly when someone hires an escort to rid them of this, you know.
Right.
Yoke. Even though virginity is a construct, don't at me.
I would never at you.
You would never. I know you would never, but someone would.
Sure.
So, and so it goes on from there. And then, of course, she falls for him. And she's a romance novelist.
It kind of reminded me in that way of like Romancing the Stone. Maybe we have to bring up a movie every time, too.
Yeah, that I could see that. I could see that. So, and then they sort of fall for each other. And then there's this really lovely, the way Claire writes, there's this really lovely reveal of how their emotional connection becomes more and more intense Because we know the heroine is falling for the hero, but he's so impenetrable, you know, because by virtue of his career. And so it's a really delightful sort of tumble into love. And I've read it multiple times and I love it. And I can't recommend it enough.
I love it too. So it's interesting, actually, because Curio and the Curio Vignettes by Kara McKenna has a very similar setup. Which is, it's a woman named Carolee. She's almost 30. She's living in Paris as a curator, and she does not want to turn 30 and still be a virgin. And so she, like...
What is the deal with 30 and virginity? Because my next book is also a 30 virgin book.
Well, mine isn't, so don't worry. I think honestly what it is it's not about 30 and virginity, right? It's about these... like sort of bellwether birthdays and then our feeling of progressing through life and meeting a set of markers, right? Like your baby's supposed to roll over at 5 months and walk at 12 months. And I think we still have those.
And you're supposed to lose your virginity before 30.
Yeah, right. Sure. Right. And I think, right. So society tells us we're supposed to have accomplished certain physical tasks, right? So I think that's, and that makes sense to me, even though it's a construct. I think I understand that feeling of I didn't do the things I was supposed to do by the time I was supposed to do them, right? And anyway, it has a very different initial setup, though. And Kara McKenna, I just think, writes amazing books. And what happens is the woman, they've exchanged letters or, like, written communication, but not actually ever talked on the phone. And her escort's name is Dieter. And she shows up his flat in Paris, and... they basically agree it's like a flat fee. It's kind of, he says, you know, like, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. So she's very in charge of it. And she starts off by essentially saying, like, I want you to undress. She asks him to masturbate. She wants to just watch him. You know, so she's very in charge of it. And he says, you know, I've done this before for other women who are virgins. It's, you know, and it's what I liked about it is even though she's coming to him, right? Like, I need your help and assistance. He very deftly puts her in the driver's seat of their whole interaction.
Well, I think that that's why the sort of male escort concept works so well. It's the same with the hero in Escorted, where he just sort of is so in control by virtue of his being hired for this particular task. But at the same time, he is keenly aware of her as controller, as the dominant mental figure, at least in the moment. And I think it adds this layer. I think it does a lot of things for the reader. One, it adds a layer of safety for the reader where you're not going to come to anything kind of unpleasant over the course of this book. Right, over the course of this sexual experience. And then on top of it, it adds this layer of, like, true, it's competence porn. It's like this, literally, this guy is so good at this particular thing that it's his job.
Well, and also that, I mean, I think it, there's something really primal about a woman really being in charge, right? That hits too. Like this, it's everything that's going to happen is going to be my decision. And I get to say exactly how I want this to go. And I think there's obviously a lot of reasons that would be very appealing to readers who are women, I think.
Yeah. So my next book is sort of a escort romance-ish. Ish. You know?
Fine.
And I think... the reason why we came to Escort Romances was because we talked about J.M. Welsh's Gigolo All the Way. And I was like, oh, I want to do Lisa Kleypas's Suddenly You. And I love this book. I love
me too.
This book for so many reasons. It ticks so many, like, pure id boxes for me. The heroine is plus size, which I love. She is older than the heroine, and then the hero, rather. She's 30 and the hero is 25. there are some, there's just so much. She's a writer. There's so much about it that I love. And they are, and so she is turning 30 and she's a writer and it's, Victorian England. But this book is so great because the heroine, again, you know what I like about all these escort books? And maybe this is part of it too. It's like the heroine is always proactive in these books. Like you don't just stumble into having an escort. Like this is a thing that a heroine decides she's going to do. She decides she's going to like walk out into her life and make a change. And it's going to be this like, maybe it'll be a night, maybe it'll be a lifetime. We don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And I love that. So this heroine is turning 30. She's a spinster. And like 30 in Victorian England is not 30 in 2018. Like for real, she's done, right?
Right.
She's cooked. So she goes to a madam and who's delightful. And she says, I want to hire a male escort. And the madam says, okay. but of course, like no madam in Elisa Claypa's novel is just a plain old madam. And she decides she's going to matchmake. And so she sends this woman, Amanda, on her birthday evening, a very handsome 25-year-old nobleman who doesn't know why he's there. And she opens the door, and there he is. And she thinks he's an escort, and he plays along. and it's this book is so sexy. I think it might be Lisa Kleypas's sexiest book.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why that's true. And I don't know if you remember this from Twitter.
There was a point where
Jenny Nordbeck was like, that's the one with the butt stuff. And I was saying, Lisa Kleypas book, what?
It's penetrative butt stuff.
That's pretty sexy for Lisa Kleypas, for anybody, really.
It's pretty sexy. But there's also, like, there's so much about this book. You know, you and I have talked a lot about miscarriages in romances and how they get managed. That happens in this book. Like, there's so much to love about this book and about these two characters who just are perfect for each other. And I love Lisa in so many ways. And it is not my favorite of her books, but that's just because she's so good that another one is my favorite.
It goes somewhere you don't expect. I'll say this, right? But I do love her. I loved everything about this book too. I think there's a lot about, and I can't remember the heroine's name because I'm terrible, but there's a lot about her.
Amanda,
thank you. Her love of writing and her belief in herself as a writer, which I think for any, I love to read books about women who really are proud of them, of their own skills. And that really worked for me in this book too. All right, so my next one is, she's not 30, she's 20. I know, it's actually a very intense book. It's called The Companion Contract, and it's by an author named Solace Ames. And one of the reasons I picked it is because I do think it's really interesting how so many books with escorts and sex workers and strippers are men, right? And if women are in those jobs in romance, they're often like adjacent, right? Like I work in a strip club, but I'm just a waitress. And I understand why we do that in romance, but I wish we wouldn't. I think if we really believe that romance is for everyone, then we believe that your job shouldn't really impact your ability to have a happily ever after. And so some of the books that have female sex workers in them, I think of as having the most fierce kind of really amazing heroines. And one I was thinking about doing was Burn Down the Night by Molly O'Keefe, but she's a stripper and I really wanted to stick to escort. So I picked this book instead. And in this book, the heroine's name is Amy Mendoza and she is half Japanese, half Filipino, and her entire family got deported. And she was the only one who was born in America, and her family really wanted her to stay. But she ended up staying with, like, sort of distant friends. She was maybe 12 or 13 when her family left, and she kind of runs away from that home and is kind of on her own. And when she turns 18, she signs a contract to start doing porn because she realizes that's going to be the only way that she can make enough money to send back to her family in the Philippines. And she like goes into this with her eyes wide open. And so she's been a porn star for a couple of years. And then the book kind of opens when she meets a man named Emmanuel, who is, he's in a band. It's funny, we just did rock stars. And he hires her to be like a sober companion, but also a companion to another one of the musicians in the group. Someone who just really needs like he's got this edge for adventure and he needs someone to like be there to take the edge off, and sex is going to do it. And Amy ends up falling in love with Emmanuel, but like, it's really unflinching kind of both her, like her life kind of before, and she's not embarrassed by what she did, but she gets angry by the way people treat her. And she talks a lot about how people treat her like a thing. And, you know, and her journey towards actually a relationship with Emmanuel. And I just think that, you know, that it's queer friendly. There's a transgender character. Everyone in the book is treated with dignity and respect, and because everyone deserves dignity and respect. And I think it's an escort book that really is an unflinching look at like everyone deserves a happy ending, and it doesn't matter what your job is. And I think we are in romance a little more forgiving of men who do this work because of that like fantasy element. And I just wanted to make sure we talked about a book that where a woman gets that same chance at an HEA.
Yeah, I love that, because you know, you're right, we picked, aside from this one, all male escort books, and you know, while those were the ones that came to mind for me, this is a massive trope in historicals. I mean, there are so many historical romances that touch on courtesan. I mean, the courtesan romance is a subgenre of historicals. You know, when I was growing up, Galen Foley was one of my very favorite authors. She wrote The Duke. Her The Duke is a hero and a courtesan. There's a very, very famous and very, very controversial courtesan book by Anna Campbell that I think is really remarkable, if you're willing to sort of take on a challenging book. The hero is a duke who has a courtesan who has been saving her money to get out of the job, and he is in love with her, and she leaves. She takes off. Like, one night she has enough money and she's done, and she leaves, and he is beside himself with panic that he no longer has her, and he abducts her and takes her away.
Wow.
It's really, really, I mean, it is what romance can be, in the sense that it's a challenge to get through this book. It is beautifully written. I think Anna does a beautiful job, but it's not for everyone. And I remember when it came out, there was this sort of discussion in romance that like, maybe that book was too much. Like, maybe that crossed the line, and somehow courtesan romances, you know, were supposed to be something that book was too much, because I never knew, like, is it because of his actions, or is it because she had made this sort of choice to leave the book begins with her making this choice to leave this life. The point is, we seem to accept courtesans in certain circles in romance.
Right. And I think that's okay. I mean, I think it's worth us like pushing the boundaries of that. But I also think it's profoundly personal, right? Like, I think there are going to be books that like work for, you know, this one worked for me and not for you. But I think then it's more than anything else, right? Like, we talk about romance all the time, but like sex and how we feel about like people who do sex work, and whether or not that's a man or a woman or their age or like maybe the why they got into it. Like, there's a lot of layers that like society builds into that, and then that each individual person builds into that. And I think that it can be a really interesting way for a reader to just sort of interrogate their own bias.
Sure, because there's also this other piece, which is, courtesans are naturally, or, you know, escorts are naturally kind of slut-shamed, right, in the world. That's just an unfortunate reality for the work. And there's something, the love that comes at the end of the book for sex workers in these books is a little bit about, I think, kind of honoring people with a sexual history.
Right.
And saying, like, it's okay. There is love to be had.
There's a really interesting, and I'll find some of her articles. There's a really interesting journalist, and I don't know if you've ever read anything by her. Her name is Melissa Gira Grant.
Melissa Gira, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, we know her here in our house.
Oh, that's amazing. Because I feel like a lot of the ways I've like sort of formally thought about this have been through articles she's written. Mm-hmm. And I just think that she has really helped me, I think, get past a lot of like what I feel were like the biases I grew up with about this. And I, every time I see her say something on Twitter or read an article by her, I just think, oh, she's so smart.
She's so smart.
She's so smart.
Okay. Well, and we should actually mention that there is a Cressley Cole book with a prostitute.
I do love this one. I know it's, well, the master.
We're going to get there, but it's the master.
Oh, it's my favorite of that series. As problematic as it is in some ways, it's talk about id right there.
Yes. Sophie Jordan will be joining us for that episode, and we'll get there then.
So we're happy to talk to everybody about our favorite escort books. We'd love for you to tell us about ones you have read and loved by replying to these posts on Twitter or using the hashtag FadedMatesPod.
Thanks so much. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and like and leave a review. And if you are following along on the Immortals After Dark read, our next book is No Rest for the Wicked, which is Sebastian and Caterin's book. And we will see you next week for the discussion of that, which will be bonkers.